Thank you, Hannah. Hello, hello, church family. I love you all and I miss you very much. We all miss you very much. I told Ellie in December, you know, when I speak on January 17th, not going to mention COVID one single time. Unfortunately, that's not true. I can't help it. The Bible just applies to everything that ever goes on. And unfortunately, this is kind of the only thing that's going on right now. It's something we're all going through. And I know that scripture has some encouragement for us. And I feel like God's put some things on my heart for us this morning. Right now, honestly, I would take everybody coming to church in like a cardboard box with maybe just a hole cut out for our eyes. I would take that over this, you not being here right now. There's several reasons why this season has been particularly hard for me. I love hanging out with people in person. I really wanted to see family at Christmas. I know a lot of us went through that. I love to worship with you in person. Another thing is I really don't like the feeling of avoiding contact with people. I want to respect people's space, but I don't want them to feel like I think they're gross or dirty. And another thing is I really love to shake hands and give hugs. I feel frustrated sometimes with some of the restrictions. I get irritable. I feel lonely sometimes. I felt so many things. And the Lord has really challenged a lot of those feelings. He's challenged a lot of my attitudes towards structures and people in this time. And when I allow the gospel to confront some of my feelings, I feel great peace. So this morning, I would really love to look at 1 Peter with you to seek some encouragement. So if you have a Bible with you, go ahead. You're going to want to leave 1 Peter open. We're going to be flipping all over the place. So some background here. The Apostle Peter is in Rome, and he learns that some of the Christian churches in other provinces are experiencing persecution. So this 1 Peter is his letter to encourage those churches, where he reminds them of God's goodness, and he also gives them some instructions on how to conduct themselves in the face of this persecution. In our context, we're obviously not facing persecution. We can't gather in person, but we're not being harassed, and nobody's telling us we can't preach the gospel. But that doesn't mean that 1 Peter is useless to us. It's an excellent source of encouragement and God-inspired wisdom for living through hardship. So we'll look at three kinds of encouragement 1 Peter offers to the Christian church in Rome and how they can apply to our current hardships. And 1 Peter offers the encouragement of salvation, the encouragement of example, and the encouragement to love. So first, to start us off, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, and let's be encouraged with a message about our salvation. So in 1 Peter, again, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, we read, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So here, Peter is talking to these Christians. He's reminding them of what they received when they first invited Jesus into their hearts. Verse 3 saying, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." Verse 4 says, "We have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." So this tells us that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the hope of an eternal inheritance that doesn't go away. And then Peter talks about the grief we might suffer in all kinds of trials, saying in verse 7 that these trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith may result in praise, honor, and glory when Christ is revealed. So God's desire is not for us to be bogged down by hardship, but that our faith will be built up through it. Because going through trials makes our faith stronger and more genuine, right? Because it's been tested. It's kind of like a good marriage, right? To be honest, Ellie and I, well, sometimes we'll look at maybe a high school couple. We'll look at them holding hands and we'll just think to ourselves, they have no idea. Not because we don't want them to be together, but because they haven't been through anything yet, right? They haven't had that chance to prove the genuineness of their faith, of their relationship, sorry. And for those of you who have maybe been married for decades, several decades now, I'm sure that you're really confident and you feel really secure in your relationships because of all the things that you've been through together. And I mean, you probably look at Ellie and I and you think, oh, man, you two just wait. Skipping ahead to verse 13, to get through these times, Peter says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. So we are to endure hardship by turning our focus from the circumstances of this broken world to the glory that is to be revealed at Christ's coming. Whenever I go through a difficult or exhausting work season, and I know I have a vacation coming, that really gives me hope. That gives me a lot of hope. Hope that one day I'll get that rest that I'm longing for right now. Hope that I'll have some peace and quiet, that I'll be free from any worry or stress I may be experiencing. And if that vacation time is maybe, say, 3 months away, I'll look ahead to that time off and I'll say, I can do anything for 3 months as long as I have that to look forward to. Now, that doesn't mean that the pain or the stress I'm experiencing isn't real or doesn't matter. This vacation that I'm going to experience faithful to receive that reward. And in the same way, the living hope of Christ causes us to weep with joy. And it doesn't mean that the pain that we experience isn't real or that the stress we experience isn't really stressful and we don't feel discouragement, but it gives us something to look forward to. It motivates us to run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. And if I have maybe, who knows how many years I have left, if I have maybe 60 years left on this earth, maybe 100, if I have 60 years left on this earth, how much more then can I look to the hope of eternity with Jesus and say, I can do anything for 60 years as long as I have that to look forward to? Although the pain we experience is very real, through Christ, we're able to endure and even finish with integrity. Which brings us to the second kind of encouragement, the encouragement of example. So let's first read chapter 2, verse 12, which says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So the churches in Rome, they're being persecuted by their pagan neighbors, and Peter tells them to live exemplary lives for a couple of reasons. One, so that any haters that are around are not going to be able to accuse you of any wrongdoing because you're living an exemplary life. And also because it may actually result in the unbeliever's salvation. Let's see. Living an exemplary life to attract people to the gospel so that they might be saved. Does that sound like anybody we know? That's exactly what Jesus did. He lived a blameless life and attracted others to the gospel so that they might be saved. And applying that to our context, this pandemic is a great opportunity for us to be example of Christ's hope and love in our community. I've heard of some really, really cool examples. I saw the other day someone posted on Facebook Marketplace offering free dog walking or meal prep for any seniors who need it. I know a woman who offers free childcare to any moms in her church who might need it to just take a break or to go to work while their kids do online school. Christiana and Chris, they recently, for Christmas, they wrote about 350 letters for seniors in retirement homes in our area. And I know there's another woman in our church who regularly goes to the beach, and she asks God if there's anyone she should offer to pray for, with a mask on, obviously. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us creative ideas to bless our neighbors. But the other side of showing that love and attracting them to the gospel is doing it so that they might be saved. For Peter, he says very practically in 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So as we ask the Lord to show us how to reach others, we can also begin thinking about how we would share our testimony with others in a gentle and loving way, asking the Holy Spirit to give us the right words. I mean, we talked a little bit about how we can be an example to the world, but let's talk more about the example Jesus has set for us. Right now, we know that some people are more vulnerable if infected with COVID-19. So under the direction of our local health authority, we're all deciding to stay home, not gather, to prevent the spread of the virus until enough people get vaccinated so that we have what I think they call herd immunity. Please excuse my bro science. Okay, I'm so sorry. But for many of us, this means that even though we may not be as vulnerable as some others, we're choosing to submit to these human authorities, give up much of what we once had access to for the benefit of others. Now, does that sound like anybody you know? Again, this is what Jesus did, right? God came down to earth. He subjected himself to human limitations. He suffered and died on the cross, all for our benefit. Peter says about suffering for doing good in chapter 2, verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. It also says in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Again, we're not experiencing the same thing as the church in Rome here, but we are called to adopt the attitude that's willing to suffer for doing good. And Jesus is our perfect example of this. But the plan for him to come and save us through his death and resurrection was incited by his great love for us. So now we arrive at this third encouragement we see in 1 Peter, which is the encouragement to love. Not seeing each other for a long time can make it really hard to sympathize with one another. We can become easily irritated by the decisions of others when we don't really know what's going on in their lives. And this, of course, doesn't only apply to the pandemic, but a COVID example of this might be people feeling differently about these restrictions. It's a tension that I have personally had to deal with in my own family and friend group. Some people feel that others are not taking the restrictions or guidelines seriously and not showing care for the vulnerable. And some might feel that others are following the restrictions maybe too strictly, even ignoring the actual heart behind the guidelines. Not getting to spend time with each other makes it hard for us to know what others are dealing with and to understand why they feel a certain way about something. And we may end up actually judging or condemning them. But when we intentionally try to see them through the loving eyes of Jesus, all that turns into understanding and compassion. The Holy Spirit guides us in our interactions with them. Sometimes he might guide us to pray for someone. We might feel led to maybe even confess the way we've felt some negative feelings we've held about somebody. The Holy Spirit, he guides us to ask good questions and to offer helpful support. And like I said, all that irritation, that bitterness, or even anger that we held against them turns into understanding and compassion. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. When I think of this, I like to imagine drywall mud being smoothed over a bunch of drywall screws. That's my image of love covering over a multitude of sins. Because when love enters the equation, instead of seeing what people do, only seeing what people do, we see their hearts, right? We might see people who are not following the guidelines to the T, and instead of seeing just that, we might actually see their relational needs or loneliness or anything else they might be dealing with. And we might see people who are stringently following the rules, and instead of seeing only that, we could see their health needs or their concern for a family member or a friend. Maybe they're struggling with worry or fear about the pandemic or anything else they might be dealing with. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. This is it's a difficult time for all of us, but be encouraged by the truth of hope in Christ. And we may wrestle with decisions we make in this season, but be encouraged to follow Christ's example. We may get irritable and angry with friends, family, leadership, others, but call on Jesus and be encouraged by the way love covers over.